Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our text for our meditation here this morning is recorded in the third chapter of the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, beginning with the 13th verse. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But Jesus answered him, Let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he consented. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice said from heaven, This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. These are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. You may be seated. A baptism is a very special event for Christians. It is a time of joy, a time of comfort, especially for parents. For in a baptism, a child becomes a part of God's kingdom because it creates faith, a God-given trust in a child's heart, as well as grants to them the forgiveness of sins. For this reason, many friends and relatives customarily gather together to celebrate this day. A baptismal gown is often worn by the child, which is handed down for generations. Sometimes even a baptismal candle is lit to remind everyone there present that the child's faith has been enkindled in Christ. The baptism of a child and of children in general are indeed a most wonderful and blessed occasion. But today we're going to think about a baptism that is wholly different and completely unique. Let us then today reflect upon the baptism of our Lord. First, we shall see that our Lord began his redemptive ministry at the Jordan River. To state simply the meaning and purpose of Jesus' baptism is no easy matter, as my doctrine class recently discovered. Yet the purpose of Christian baptism itself is quite clear. Its purpose is to create faith in a person's heart, to grant the forgiveness of sins, as well as eternal life. But if Jesus was the sinless Son of God, why did he go to be baptized? After all, he had no sins to wash away. This is the very question that St. John the Baptist was asking in our text here this morning. For John was well aware that this was the promised Messiah. After all, he had already declared to his own disciples, Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So why was Jesus coming to be baptized by John? Wouldn't it have made much more sense for John to have been baptized by Jesus? The reason is so that Jesus would be manifested to the world. This is the very theme of Epiphany, which means to make manifest, to reveal. For he was no longer the unknown carpenter from Nazareth, but rather a rabbi, such as human ears had never heard. His baptism was his entry and his consecration into his threefold office of prophet, priest, and king. In the Old Testament, King David was anointed by oil into the kingly office by the prophet Samuel. However, Jesus was not merely anointed with oil, indicating the giving of the Holy Spirit. No, rather, he was anointed with the very Spirit himself in all of his fullness. For at his baptism, the Holy Spirit descended upon him in the form of a dove and remained on him, So began his Spirit-filled ministry, which human eyes had never laid behold upon ever before. Jesus' words of explanation to St. John shed some further light upon the meaning of Jesus' baptism. For when John didn't think it was right that he baptized the Christ, Jesus said to him these words, "Let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." In his baptism, Jesus begins his ministry of redemption for our salvation. This fulfilling of all righteousness speaks of his active obedience for our redemption. For where we were disobedient, Christ was obedient, even to the point of fulfilling the commandment to be baptized as a common sinner. This perfect obedience that Christ merited on our behalf becomes our perfect obedience, even though we continue to fail every day of our life. This is indeed the manifest, wonderful grace, the undeserved love of the promised Messiah. Now, it is indeed true that Jesus is the sinless Son of God, so therefore he did not enter into the waters of baptism in order to have his sins removed. No, he entered into baptism to take upon himself the sins of the entire world. For in his baptism, he bore those sins throughout his life, those sins that crush us down in our life, that are a stench in the nostril of the Almighty. He bore them all the way to the Holy Cross in order to blot them out, not with silver or gold, which could not pay the price of our redemption, but rather with his holy and precious blood and innocent suffering and death. In short, Jesus had to become sin in order to save us. This is what St. Paul means when he says, For our sake he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. For this reason, we know that our sins are washed away and removed in the waters of holy baptism, which is no mere water. For when united with God's word, it has the power to give life. So Jesus and John went down to the Jordan, which was never any more higher than waist deep, normally speaking. There, St. John poured water over the Lord's head for the forgiveness of sins. And as our Lord came forth from the water, behold, the heavens opened up. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him in the form of a dove. And God the Father spoke, saying these words, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." This occurrence confirms the fact that so often we take for granted that this was indeed no mere human being, but the God-man Christ Jesus, the second person of the Most Holy Trinity. For here we also have a manifestation not only of the second person of the Holy Trinity, but all three persons of the Holy Trinity. For the Father was manifested in the voice from heaven, the Son in the person of Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove that rested upon our Lord. Now we shall see that Jesus sanctifies the waters of baptism by his baptism. There is a definite, interesting connection between Jesus' baptism and our own baptism. Speaking of Jesus' baptism, Martin Luther writes in his famous baptismal hymn, "There did he," meaning Jesus, "there did he consecrate a bath to wash away transgression and quench the bitterness of death by his own blood and passion. He would a new life give us." This redemptive ministry of Jesus Christ, inaugurated at his own baptism, is the source and the blessing of our own baptism. It puts the power into our baptism. Because Jesus was baptized for our salvation, we are baptized into salvation through the Holy Spirit. We are united in his death and resurrection so that we are literally spirited alive. Because the Holy Spirit comes upon Christ in baptism, so too in our baptism. Because we are buried and rise with Christ, the Holy Spirit is united with us granting us living power in God's grace. Because he is God's son, we too in baptism become the sons and daughters of God by adoption and heirs of eternal existence. This baptism is indeed a powerful work. It is God's own baptism. It is not just some mere empty ritual, nor is it some human act that we must perform to enter into a covenant relationship with God. No, here God grants to us faith, the forgiveness of sins, life and salvation. Here he caused all the benefits won on the cross 2,000 years ago and makes them manifest to us here in the 21st century. For in baptism we have been washed clean in the blood of the Lamb. Here is a cleaner that can wash away each stain and mark, each spot and wrinkle. For though our sins are as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow, the prophet Isaiah tells us. Though they are as crimson, they shall be as wool. In baptism, indeed, we are washed in the blood of the Lamb. Now, if baptism has this power to create a God-given trust in our hearts, to grant the forgiveness of sins, and to give us eternal life, why wouldn't everyone, especially little children, be allowed to make use of this profound sacrament? After all, our Lord himself says that baptism is for all nations, no age groups excluded. In fact, our Lord himself says, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." If Jesus is here saying that no one can enter into heaven without a childlike trust of a child, and in the parallel text of Luke, as an infant child. In other words, God tells us that the faith that we ought to exemplify is the unwavering childlike trust of a child. If that's the faith that God calls all of us to imitate, how can we exclude even the littlest among us from this holy and blessed sacrament? Those who deny this sacrament, who deny the power of this sacrament, unfortunately find themselves with only two alternatives. Either they have to deny the scriptural doctrine that all children are born with sin. However, the Bible clearly states in the words of King David, "Behold, I was shaped in iniquity, and sin did my mother conceive me." Or they have to claim that somehow the parent's faith saves the child. However, St. Mark tells us, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. Thanks be to God that by his grace alone he has preserved this wonderful truth of baptism in our midst. Therefore, we can know that not only our baptisms are valid, but also the baptism of the littlest among us really unites them into the kingdom of God. We know that this baptism really makes us heirs of eternal existence. Let us then close today hearing the words of Martin Luther's famous baptismal hymn. To Jordan came our Lord the Christ to do God's pleasure willing. And there was by St. John baptized all righteousness fulfilling. There did he consecrate a bath to wash away transgression and quench the bitterness of death by his own blood and passion. He would a new life give us. Amen. Congregation may rise. The peace of God which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. And let us pray. Father in heaven, as at our Lord's baptism in the Jordan River, you once proclaimed Jesus, your beloved Son, and anointed him with the Holy Spirit, grant that all who are baptized into his name may faithfully keep the covenant into which they have been called, boldly confess their Savior, and with him be heirs of eternal life, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen. Continue with the hymn.
Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be in the body of you all. Amen.